Hello, Lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning into the Lifebook Member Podcast for this intellectual month here in February 2020. I've got a great episode ahead with the one and only Jim Quick. You know Jim Quick. He's a best-selling author. He's the host of the Quick Brain Podcast. He's an intellectual optimization specialist, and it's a really powerful episode. But before we jump in, I wanted to let you guys know that Jim is going to be running our Lifebook Community Challenge for Intellectual Month as well. So please keep an eye out for Jim's challenge. He's going to help us do a chain linking exercise to help us with our memorization skills, as well as share his morning routine for optimizing your intellectual life. So I'm so excited for that. Like I said, keep an eye out, Lifebook members. I hope you're having a wonderful time crafting your life vision. Without further ado, let's jump into the show. Thank you all for listening. Enjoy the show, everyone. Hello, all you Lifebook members out there. Thank you for tuning into the Lifebook Member Podcast today. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I have an incredible guest for you for Intellectual Month. I really couldn't think of a better guest, to be honest. He's a human intellect optimization specialist. He's a speed learning expert. He's a speaker, an author, a podcaster, and he also has a new book coming out called Limitless, all about mastering the human mind and mastering the intellect. Jim Quick is on the phone today. How you doing, Jim?
I'm fantastic. Unbelievable, Jordan. Thank you. Thank you for this conversation. And thank you for everybody who's tuning in. I'm excited for this, what we're about to talk about.
I know, man. Seriously, you are definitely one of my top gets for Intellectual Month. Before we get started, I got to shout out Quick Brain. Anyone who's listening to this would love your podcast, Quick Brain. Why don't we start there, Jim? How did you get into the field of human intellectual optimization? Why are you so passionate about it? And what led you to create all these wonderful projects around it?
Well, I know we're going to have a conversation about upgrading our minds so we can learn faster and read faster, improve our memory. My inspiration really was my desperation. And when people see me on stages, they see me do these demos where I'll memorize a room full of people's names or 100 words or 100 random numbers forwards and backwards. But I always tell people, I don't do this to impress you. I do this to express to you what's really possible. Because the truth is, every single person who's listening to this could do that and a lot more. We just weren't taught. If anything, we were taught a lie that somehow our intellectual ability is somehow fixed to like our shoe size.
Whoa,
and we've discovered more about the human brain more in the past 10 years than the previous 1,000 years combined. And what we found is we're grossly underestimating our own capabilities, our own potential. And the reason why I know that is because I grew up with some pretty severe learning challenges. At the age of 5, while in school, I had a very bad accident, head trauma, brain injury. I had some learning difficulties in the area of focus, memory. It took me an extra, few years to learn just how to read. I was just behind all the time, and I really struggled throughout all of school. And so I've dedicated my life when I came up with resources and tools and techniques to be able to upgrade my learning. I upgraded my life. And because of it, I couldn't help but help other people because, I feel like one of the success formulas is you learn so you could earn so you could return.
I like that.
And I don't mean just financially. Obviously, the faster you can learn, the faster you could earn because knowledge, it's not only power, it's profit, but I mean all the treasures of our life. In fact, when you look at the categories, it's one of those categories that if you can learn how to learn, you can improve, you can apply that towards health and fitness. If you can learn how to learn, you could apply that towards your love and your relationships. If you can learn how to learn and read faster and remember things and apply it, you could absorb information about parenting, about improving your financial situation or upgrading your career. It's like a master switch. And so I feel like it's one of the most important skills to learn today is our ability to learn how to learn. And it improves every area of our life. It's kind of like a meta skill.
That's a great way to put it.
And a real superpower that we all have access to, regardless of our age, our background, our career, our level of education, our financial situation, our gender, our personal history, our IQ. I feel like that doesn't matter as much as having the right mindset, motivation, and the methodology to really exceed. You mentioned my book that's coming out, Limitless. It's not about being perfect. It's about progressing and advancing beyond what you believe is possible and making real progress. And that's the core of, I feel like that we're all, you know, bonded by. We're all on this adventure and this journey to be able to realize and reveal our fullest potential. So we have more to be able to express and share with the world.
That's wonderfully poignant. And there's so many things I want to touch on in there, but most of all, I want to get your opinion and kind of highlight something. Our relationship with learning, our relationship with education is its own thing. And I think it's so important to cultivate that and to have that relationship be healthy and strong and resilient. I think one of the worst curses, one of the worst fates you can bestow upon somebody is that they hate to learn. And unfortunately, a lot of the times public schools kind of push that into people. It's not fun to be sitting under those fluorescent lights learning about stuff you don't want to learn about in ways that may not suit you personally from a person who you may not even like. You know what I mean?
I feel what you're saying. You know, I feel like school is, you know, they teach us, they focus on really what to learn and what to think and what to remember.
Exactly.
But there's no classes really on how to learn,
right,
and how to think and how to remember these things. And I feel like the how is something that's missing. You know, school, I mean, it's, you know, a focus on emotional intelligence and social well-being. You know, these critical things that are important to be able to prepare children and going on to adults to be able to live their best life.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And it's if you're forced to read something that you just don't want to read, that might do some real damage to you as a kid. I think it's really important that we cultivate this love of learning in ourselves and then especially the next generation, you know?
It's this difference between like this infinite mindset and this finite mindset, where education is more of a finite fixed. I mean, it's one of the things where traditional education schooling, you know, ends after you go through school, and then people feel like they stop, they're done with their education.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's more fixed, but really this is a lifelong, as you know, a lifelong process of learning. And it's kind of challenging where kids sometimes they feel like that the experience they had in school is something that they take with them beyond that. And I feel like part of what we do as mentors or coaches or instructors is to be able to cultivate that and reignite that love of learning. I mean, think about kids. They're not afraid of making mistakes, you know, until they pick that up, you know, whether it's walking learning how to talk, walking to talking, they'll fall 100, 200, 300, 500 times, but they'll get up. But sometimes as adults, we'll try something once and we have this mindset where we're so afraid of what other people expect or their opinions or looking bad. And that keeps us from growth.
Those are all programs that we need to kind of overcome. Yeah, I'm already loving where this conversation is going. I want to highlight the importance of cultivating this intellect, especially for Lifebook members who are trying to bring their life visions into fruition, into reality. Really interestingly, there was a couple categories that when my dad created the Lifebook system, he considered putting first, and intellectual was one of them. Kind of like for what the reason you just said, Jim, which is your mind is like the starting place. And especially for Lifebook is an intellectual process.
Mm-hmm.
But why do you feel, Jim, that this is so important to cultivate for those who want to live an extraordinary life?
Yeah, I believe that it's one of those core meta skills, again, that we live in this millennium of the mind, where it's our mind that we're going to be able to learn how to learn so that we could parent, so that we could have loving relationships, so we could have a thriving career.
Totally. It used to be physique and power.
Right. Abundance and financially, physically. And when you could do that, everything gets easier for you. When you know how to be able to read something faster and retain it, then you could apply that towards, you know, all those books that are sitting on our shelf that we don't read because it becomes like shelf help and not real self-help. But I do believe it's core. Absolutely. That when we upgrade our learning, we could upgrade our life.
Yes.
And you know, part of it is it's easy to, honestly, very straightforward to learn, to become mentally intelligent, to learn facts and figures and foreign languages. I'm also an advocate on top of mental intelligence, of mental fitness, just sometimes we feel like we're losing our minds and senior moments are coming early. We feel like we're absent-minded, like we're reading a book and forget what we just read, or we'll misplace things, or we forget someone's name, or we feel overloaded and overwhelmed with too much to learn and not enough time, or we're easily distracted. Our mind wanders. And, you know, we live in this society, this digital society, where it's just getting worse and worse, you know, with every app notification, social media alert,
right?
We're having trouble focusing. Some people are suffering from these four digital challenges I talk about that are really, they weren't created by technology, but they're really amplified by technology. Digital deluge, which is the overload, which is creating more, you know, higher blood pressure, compression of leisure time, more sleeplessness. Digital distraction, which is having, you know, trouble. People can't focus anymore to get things done or to be able to learn or have a conversation and sit in a meeting without their mind going someplace else. We also have digital dementia, where we're outsourcing our brains to our smart devices. We're so dependent and reliant on technology. Your brain is more like a muscle than it is an organ. It's use it or lose it. Wow. And, you know, very exciting with the understanding of neuroplasticity, that we could get older, but we could get wiser, we could get smarter, and we can make new connections. But it requires that novelty to be able to dedicate ourselves to lifelong learning. And it actually has been shown to actually help us live longer. It was on the cover of Time magazine. They found these nuns, I call them super nuns, that were living long, ripe ages, and not just living longer, but they were living well. And they found out through their studies that half of it had to do with their emotional faith and their gratitude. But the other half is just mentally fit their entire life. You know, they love learning. And because of it, it added years to their life. Jeez. And also life to their years. But we're so now, you know, we have to be careful with our dependency to technology, because it's like taking the elevator. It has a physical effect if you're not taking those, you know, if you're not walking up those five flights of stairs.
Wow. That is really fascinating. Yeah. And I never put together that intellectual prowess does not safeguard you against all of the technological hazards and informational hazards. That's exactly right. You need another degree of something, kind of like an intellectual resilience, maybe mental health is in there.
Exactly. I would say that.
When it comes to that, do you have any like strategies or practices that you employ? Do you ever go on, I mean, you are the speed learning, you know, full input guy. Do you ever go on information fasts to let your brain recover? Do you do meditation? What do you do?
Yeah, I do. I think it's very important is that when we're going for this limitless state, right, and we're making this progress, that you stretch, but then you stabilize, you know, you stretch, and you stabilize, that, you know, the brain is not just like the rest of our body. It's not meant to be going 24/7. And the thing is, it needs that downtime. It needs that parasympathetic, you know, rest, digest. And you'll find that some of the amazing innovators and minds, they schedule their white space regularly. Mm. They go for walks and they do walking meetings to help them think. Also, movement is so important. I feel like to mental health and mental fitness, getting out in nature, we get so inspired. We're so creative when we do these walking meetings. Also, when your body moves, your brain grooves and makes new connections. Mm-hmm. So you create more brain-derived neurotrophic factors, which is like fertilizer for your brain.
Yeah, nice.
And so for me, that those places are, I meditate twice a day. Every single day for 20 minutes, you know, one in the morning, one later in the afternoon. That space is very rejuvenating for me. I like to be out in nature as much as I can. I have a float tank.
Nice. You find that to be effective?
I do. It's a little time consuming, so it's not always so practical than me resting and closing my eyes and doing some breath work for a few minutes. But I think it's important to be able to take time. I mean, part of it also for mental health, you know, we're talking about mental intelligence, but also mental fitness and mental health. Part of it is also saying no to things. Mm. Part of the challenge with our focus and the overload that we feel is we're overcommitting nowadays. Not only is technology driving this digital deluge, this digital distraction, this digital dementia, you know, where we're losing our memory. We can't because of, you know, the phone's doing everything for us. Even right now, I'm doing this conversation with you. You hear some, like, hear some sirens in the background.
I think that the audience thinks that I'm piping that in to, like, raise the ominousness of what you're saying. You're like, the overload and the sirens are coming in. But that is, in fact, coming from Jim's line.
Exactly. I mean, so this is one of those things where it challenges us to focus. And we can start looking at these events as opportunities to exercise our focus, our concentration, because it's training under real world conditions. And part of it is just saying no to things and being congruent, you know, with, and that's why I really appreciate the work that you do, you know, in the mission of Lifebook. We have this amazing harmony and it builds this self-awareness of what's most important to us. And we have this life vision, right? And this quality of life. And part of it is also saying no to things, because when we have to be careful when we say yes to somebody or something, that we're not saying no to ourselves. That part of self-love and self-care is setting boundaries and borders around our time, around our emotions, around our personal space. Like for me, I'm an introvert. And for me, it's kind of, I was having this conversation with Simon Sinek and Susan Cain, who wrote, she wrote Quiet, which is really the power of introverts. And it's kind of like an introvert. I don't know how many introverts we have listening to this as opposed to extroverts. An introvert, the metaphor that they tell me is like, an introvert is someone who wakes up with 5 gold coins. And every single time they interact with somebody, they give them one of their coins until they have no more gold coins left and they have to, you know, be by themselves and do what we're talking about to create some space for themselves to recharge and replenish. And extroverts are the opposite. They wake up and they have no gold coins. And every single time they engage with somebody, they get energy, they get a coin, right?
Sure.
And they go to somebody else and they get a coin, they get energy that way. But for me, when we're talking about this, part of this is energy management. Because when we're talking about this intellectual category, some people are struggling with brain fog, mental fatigue. They're motivated because they've tapped their purpose, they know their why, but they're just tired. And that's why all these work synergistically together. If you want to increase your level of intellectual capacity, part of it is just taking care of your brain,
totally.
Eating the right brain foods, right? That are neuroprotective, that help with your focus, that aren't processed, that aren't slowing us down. Part of it is stress management, because chronic stress shrinks your brain and your intellectual capacity. Part of it is optimizing your sleep, because intellectual are you performing if you're on a bad night's sleep?
That's my biggest indicator, man, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably for a lot of people. I feel like it's an area that really could use some attention, because we can't make good decisions. You can't focus. You're not going to remember things if you're not sleeping well. So everything
that holistic approach.
Yeah, and there's not just, and this is why I love the work, is because everyone's looking for that one pill that just fixes everything, but there's no pill. Like, it's funny, because on one of the endorsements we have, our forward is written by Dr. Mark Hyman.
Oh yeah, we love Dr. Mark Hyman from the pharmacy. Yeah,
who's head of functional medicine, and he's amazing. But you know, for the book Limitless, he was like, you know, there is no genius pill. But Jim gives you the process for unlocking your best brain, your brightest future. But there's no pill, but there's a process for it. And when you make it a process, it allows us to have our agency back, where we the responsibility is on us, and we have the power.
That's exactly right. Because what isn't like that? I mean, Lifebookers understand it is a process. Wherever you're trying to go, whatever you're trying to do, there really isn't a shortcut. That's the Lifebook mantra. It is a process. I do want to specifically talk about some of your intellectual strategies, because you do so many different great presentations, all of your different podcasts. You really have a myriad of exercises and principles. Which ones would you like to share with the Lifebook members today? They're trying to take their intellectual category over the top. What kind of exercises, principles, or strategies do you have for them?
Okay, so really what I'm thinking about intellectual growth, I'm looking at 3 categories, and that if there's a gap between where you are and where you want to be intellectually or in any area of our life, if we feel like we're being held back and that we can't catch up or we can't make progress in this area, there are 3 M's that I talk about in this new book. And it's really mindset, motivation, and then methodology. And so if there's a gap between, again, where you are and your current reality and then your desired reality, the mindset is determining what you believe is possible. It's, mm-hmm. it's determining what you believe you are capable of. Do you believe that you could remember people's names? Do you believe you could learn another language? Do you believe that you're even deserving to be able to have this level, you know, a level
so
of
true.
Success?
I don't want to interject, but I've used this example on the show all the time. Before Tony Hawk did the 900, it was impossible. And then one person did it, and now 19-year-old kids are doing it.
Exactly.
There was some sort of break in the consciousness, the human consciousness, that something was possible. And then suddenly the impossible, literally teenagers are doing it.
Exactly. It's like, you know, for people who remember Roger Bannister or heard of Roger Bannister in 1954,
people
couldn't run a mile less than 4 minutes. And then all of a sudden, he did it by imagining him. He would do these visualization exercises and match himself across the finish line, looking at a clock, and it says 3 minutes and 59 seconds. And then all of a sudden, after that, other people started doing it.
Totally.
It wasn't a big change in training methodology or nutritional supplementation or shoe technology. It was a change of a belief. So the first area is, and part of mindset is just being clear about, you know, we're not born with these beliefs that we're not enough, that we're not smart. You know, like so many of us go through school and 10% get A's, another 10% or whatever get B's. And they feel like 80% of the people could feel like that they're failed because they failed the system, or as opposed to the system really failing them because it wasn't set up for them to be able to thrive.
So true.
And so that's a mindset issue. So I would say the first thing is to be able to learn faster, upgrade your intellectual capacity, is just do a check-in with your current mindset. What are your beliefs around learning? What are your beliefs, you know, about yourself, about your own intellect? Because all behavior is belief driven. That your brain is like, and one simple thing is just be aware of your self-talk. So many people come to me and say, Jim, I'm just so forgetful. I'm getting too old. I'm not smart enough. And I'm like, stop. If you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them.
Mm.
You know, if you fight for your limitations, they're yours.
So
your
true.
Mind is always eavesdropping on your self-talk, because your brain is like a supercomputer and your self-talk is a program it will run. So if you tell yourself you're not good at remembering names, you won't remember the name of the next person you meet because you program your supercomputer not to.
So
always
true.
Check in with the mindset first. The second M, that to be able to upgrade your intellectual capacity and your ability, is check in with your motivation. That's the second M, meaning that this is really, and I don't believe motivation necessarily is, when people think of motivation, they feel like they have to fully enjoy that thing that they, the action that they need to take. So they have to really enjoy that workout in order to be able to be motivated or really enjoy that difficult thing. And I would prefer that. I would always prefer that you bring the joy to that activity.
But not necessary?
Really, what I would say is motivation is like, here's the thing. I take an ice bath every single morning. It's
just
one of the things
this.
That
Finish
I do.
Finish your thought, please.
Yeah, I don't like it.
That's
I really,
the whole point.
Since I was a kid, I just don't like the cold. I grew up in the cold and it's just not, my body physiology is just never adapted and I don't enjoy it, but I certainly enjoy the benefits of it. And so here's the thing, I don't feel like I have to enjoy that cold shower or that cold ice, you know, bath, but I have to have a reason for doing it. And that's the thing. So when I'm thinking about motivation and because if there's a gap, again, let's say your goal is you want to read a book a week for your intellectual capacity and your intellectual levels, this category, and you're setting this goal, make sure you have the right mindset around it, that you believe it's possible, that you believe that you're capable of it, that you believe that there's that it's important. And then when you're talking about motivation, I'm thinking about motivation as a formula, three things. I'm thinking about motivation, purpose, like having a reason, because reasons reap results. Let's say you want to learn a language. You have to tap into that reason. Let's say you want to remember someone's name. If you don't have a reason to remember a person's name, the chances of you remembering the person's name is not very good.
True.
Right? But a lot of people the names you tend to remember are people you have a reason to remember their name. Maybe you're attracted to them. Maybe you want to do some work with them.
Yeah, then magically the problem is gone.
Exactly. Because reasons are important. So the first part of motivation is really is finding your purpose, you know, and coming up with the reasons to take that ice bath or to work out. And so the reasons are important for motivation, your motive for taking action. Another part of motivation that I feel like is important is really going back to energy. Some people could have a reason to do that workout, but they're just tired.
That's true. Right?
And so that's why I feel like energy management is part of this, right? Having a reason gives you energy, gives you clarity, but also having energy, getting the right sleep and having the right nutrition and managing your stress, being around positive people that encourage you as opposed to people that deplete energy from you.
Totally.
Is part of motivation.
Huge part.
And so I feel like you need to tap into the things that give you energy. And then finally, once you have purpose and energy, the third part of the formula for motivation, if motivation is equal to purpose times energy, is small, simple steps. I feel like a lot of people are not motivated because they make something bigger in their head. Mm. They have to build a business, right? They have to be the perfect parents. They have to have perfect body. And, you know, I think people are overthinking it. I think thinking is good. I think overthinking and wanting to be perfect could stop the progress. And yeah. That's really the goal is progress. So what I mean by small, simple steps as being the third element of motivation is asking yourself this question: what is the smallest, simplest step I could take to advance towards this goal, right? Where I cannot fail. And the reason why it works, going back to energy management, is it requires very little effort and very little energy, right? Dr. BJ right. Fogg, who's a master of habits, talks about it as calls it tiny habits. That if you want to be able to learn, if you want to start adding a new habit, like flossing your teeth, you know, people who floss their teeth, they're healthier, they live longer. But if you're not doing that, right, check in with your mindset, right, about what you deserve and everything else. But then check in with your motivation. There could be a reason you have energy, but maybe you take a small step. Maybe you're not flossing all your teeth. Maybe you're just flossing one tooth. Or maybe you're just going on Amazon and ordering some floss, right?
Yeah. Any step you can take.
Exactly. Maybe it's not, okay, Jim, the goal is intellectually, I want to read one book a week. Maybe it's not focusing on the 40 minutes, you know, 45 minutes a day to be able to get through it. Maybe it's like, hey, I'm going to read one sentence.
Yes, and then I love that.
Nobody's going to stop after one sentence. Nobody's going to do that, right? So break it down into small, simple steps. And that's the motivation.
I like the part where you can't fail. And someone said that exact same thing in health and fitness this year. They said, you know, it sounds crazy, but if you can just commit to exercising for 1 minute, if you're really having trouble getting into the flow of exercise, try to commit to exercising for 1 minute that day. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really fascinating. And you just kind of echoed that same sentiment.
Exactly. And so break it down to the smallest piece. So that's motivation for me. It's not this thing where, and people, again, they put themselves in trance and this hypnosis because they right. say, I don't have motivation. I don't have energy. I don't have focus. These are not things you have. These are things you do. Mm. And when you say that you either have them or have not, then you don't have control again, right? You wake up and you're thinking, I hope I have creativity. Those aren't things, again, you have creativity so I can make videos and write today and do my art today. But there's a process, right? And so once you have the right mindset and check in with your self-talk, you eliminate those ants, right? Automatic negative thoughts that Dr. Amen, the brain doctor, talks about, those kind of things. Then you get mm-hmm. your motivation, clear on your purpose for doing the activity, optimizing your energy and breaking it down to small steps. Then the last part, really, to get what you want in the intellectual category or really any category, is the methods. Because some people need to upgrade their methods, meaning that a lot of people, they can have their mindset right. They deserve to be able to have this success. They believe they're capable of it. They have their purpose for reading, their motivation. You know, they broke down the small steps, but really they're using a methodology that's old. Like, for example, most people read. It's not a skill that you're born with. It's something you learn. But the last time, how old were you the last time you took a class on, you know, called reading?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Like
never,
six,
never.
Yeah. 7 years old. And most people yes, are exactly. still using that same level of skill because that's the last time they learned it. And that's the problem. They're reading, for example, one word at a time, or they're sub-vocalizing. Have you ever noticed Jordan, that when you're reading something, you hear that inner voice inside your head reading along with you.
Sure.
You hear that voice inside your head. Hopefully it's your own voice. It's not like somebody else's voice. The reason why it's an obstacle to your reading is if you have to say all the words in order to understand them.
Slows you down.
Then you can only read as fast as you could speak. That means your reading speed is limited to your talking speed, not your thinking speed.
That's fascinating.
Now, the truth is you don't have to say the words to understand these words because you've seen them. You don't have to say New York City or computer to understand what those words are because you've seen them countless times, right? And so, but that's a skill, that's a methodology challenge where we learned it. Same thing with memorization. People, if you want to improve your intellectual capacity and up level in this category, and you want to learn facts and figures and language, all these different things. You know, most people through school, their method for memorizing things is just repetition.
Right.
They just will say to themselves these facts over and over and over again 100 times, and that's not very effective. So that's a limit in their methodology, as opposed to using whole brain learning and visualization, their power of their imagination, knowing that information is forgettable, but information times emotion becomes a long-term memory, right? So the thing is, what I want people to walk away from this conversation is intellectual capacity and performance is not fixed like your shoe size. It's not like IQ. This is not a standardized test like the SATs, which, you know, marks your verbal and your mathematical. You know, there's so many other forms of intelligence besides those two forms. And it's not fixed. It's not like you take an IQ test when you're 6 years old and that's your number when you're 60 years old.
Right.
It's not fixed. It's fluid. That's a mindset, you know, that's the difference again between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset that Dr. Carol Dweck talks about, right? Mm-hmm. So the first thing is understand that intellectual capacity is not fixed, that you deserve this, that you are capable of it. It's a process issue. The second thing is tap into your motivation, really get clear of all the benefits you'll get from learning this language. That's why, by the way, people will learn a language better when they're in love with somebody, you know, from that culture, because there's a purpose. A lot of times people don't learn stuff in school because they didn't see the purpose. Like, why do they need to know sine, cosine, tangent, x, and there's no purpose behind it. You know, optimizing your mental energy and having a very brain friendly, you know, diet and people around you that encourage you and having a clean environment, all the things that, you know, and the things that you'll actually get from the other categories, right?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Will help to give you, you know, that will energize you. And then breaking it down into small steps, whatever you need to learn, break it down to the smallest, simplest steps, whether it's Mandarin, martial arts, music, you know, management, marketing, break it down into small, simple steps.
Anything that starts with an M.
Exactly. And then finally, the methodology. You know, you mentioned Superbrain or Superbrain program or, you know, our book Limitless. It breaks it down in the step-by-step on how do you remember someone's name? How would you go approach learning a language? How do you memorize this, all these facts or all this research that you're doing in your work or in your school? Or just for your personal intellectual fulfillment, all of that is possible.
Totally. Before we wrap it up, Jim, this was an incredible interview. I really want to thank you. What a great overview of all the work that you do. I want to ask you a personal question, though. What is your biggest supporting category for your intellectual life, whether it's staying in shape, you know, a good love life, good friends, healthy spiritual life? Just personally for you, what supports your intellect the most?
Yes. And going through when I'm thinking about these dozen, everything supports each other, certainly, right? But the one that I feel like is most important for me personally is that health and fitness. Mm. It's something that I like to prioritize because I feel like, you know, there's this phrase that around health saying that the person who has their health has a thousand dreams, but the person who doesn't have their health has one dream, you know, to get their health back.
That's true.
And this is part of inspired by, besides my brain injury when I was a child, my primary caregiver was my grandmother. And around that time, when I was in elementary school, she passed away of Alzheimer's.
Oh.
And that really, you know, when I'm thinking about health and fitness, I'm also thinking about your brain health, right? And prioritizing that. And I feel like that, you know, that energy gives me the reserves that I need to be able to learn every single day. But I easily, when I go through all these different areas emotionally, like that's so important to learning, like bringing love and joy and bewilderment and curiosity, yes, you know, into my intellectual life. You know, I think about my loving relationships and how it cultivates encouragement and new ideas and conversation. You know, I think about my own spiritual development, and I think about gratitude, yeah, and how gratitude and being thankful allows me to appreciate the things that I have. I do these intellectual experiments, these thought experiments, thinking around that, around like what if tomorrow the only things in my life, and I would ask everybody here, what if the only things you had in your life tomorrow were the things you expressed gratitude for today? Mm. You know, like, you know,
that's a powerful thought experiment.
Yeah. I mean, just and having focusing on your financial abundance allows you to be able to go to events and take courses, right? And buy those books, you know, finding a career, you know, where you could feel like you're growing intellectually, where it's supportive of that,
oh,
where
that's
you're
a huge
learning,
one. You're
where you're learning new things.
You're talking to a man. That is my favorite part about this job, yeah, is just the incredible amount of intellectual stimulation that I receive from it.
Yeah. And so everything is connected, and yes, you know, it creates this incredible symphony, you know, this orchestra, if you will, where that becomes your art. And I just really encourage everybody, you know, and as you're learning this, to up level your intellectual capacity and capability and results, is to learn with the intention of teaching.
Oh, I like that.
I really do believe it's kind of like that, the hero's journey, you know. You go and you're pulled out of this norm, this matrix world, right? You're Luke Skywalker, you know, or you're going through this process, and you find your mentor, you go over your trials, your struggles become strengths, and then you come back into this world, you know, and what's your goal? Like, your goal is to be able to share the lessons you've learned with other people, right? That's what a superhero does. A superhero doesn't just discover and develop their superpowers. Just having superpowers doesn't make you a superhero. You have to use it to be able to make a difference.
Oh, I love
and
that.
So what I would say is learn to make a difference. Like, literally learn to teach other people. And when you learn with the intention of teaching, you know, even if you re-listen to this conversation and just think about, like, who do you wish was listening to this right now? And re-listen to it and learn with the intention of teaching that person. Because you would take notes differently. You would pay attention differently.
Your experience is vastly different. It's
exactly
right.
You would make it original to yourself and personal to yourself. Because when you're teaching that other person or giving a TED talk about it, you know, it would be your words that you're using, and you make it your own. Because then you go from information to inspiration to implementation to really integration. And that's the real goal, is you want this to become who you are. And so when you're reading something or you're listening to something, you're going through life, think about, like, how would you teach this to somebody else? And you'll learn it at whole new levels.
That
because
is
the
great.
Best
I love
the
that.
Best teachers are the best students. And the best students are the best teachers.
I love that. Jim, this was fantastic. Honestly, one of the best intellectual interviews I've ever done. Where can my listeners find out more about you, all of your wonderful work?
Yeah. I mean, the book, I'm so excited about it. So people, this is my first book in 28 years. People have been asking for it for decades, literally. And it outlines this whole process out. It gives you the methodology to be able to learn this, to be able to master your mind, your memory. And it's limitlessbook.com, limitlessbook.com. And then you mentioned the podcast on your favorite podcast app. Just search my name. Just spell it right. Jim, K-W-I-K. My real name. I didn't change it to do this. You know, it's my father's name, my grandfather's name. And then I would love everybody actually to take a screenshot of what they're listening to right now, or take a picture of their notes and post it on social media and tag us on it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's great.
I'm at Jim Quick, K-W-I-K, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever your favorite is. And then share, going back to the power of teaching, share your big aha. What is one thing you got out of this? Because that little step, we talk about small, simple steps, you know, those little decisions we make every single day become, you know, add up. That's little true. By little, a little becomes a lot. And they become, they add up to big decisions and big life changes. And I would say that I would love to, you know, I'll repost some of my favorites.
Nice. You know, online. I love that. Yeah, you'll get some good feedback from the community, man. You are truly a strong intellectual guest. I cannot thank you enough, Jim. You're welcome back anytime, my friend.
Jordan, thank you so much. And everyone who's listening, I wish really your days be full. Lots of life, lots of love, lots of laughter, and always lots of learning. Thank you.
I love it. I love it. Thank you all so much for tuning in today, Lifebook members. We'll see you next month for Emotional Month. I'll have some wonderful content coming your way. This is Jordan River and Jim Quick signing off, wishing you an extraordinary day. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast. Bye-bye, everyone.